in verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul says, from the day that we heard. Heard what, Paul? Well, that's where we go to the first 8 verses that we covered last week. And there's 2 things that he heard that Paul was really grateful for and excited for. One, in verse 4, he tells us he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. Paul is excited that there are people in this town that have come to know Christ. And as we discovered last week, there was a man named Epaphras who heard, we speculate, through the Apostle Paul's ministry. Acts chapter 19 kind of backs us up, that he heard through the ministry of the Apostle Paul and then went to this town to preach the gospel. And a church was formed and planted in this town because people believed in Jesus Christ. People believed in the gospel. And so the first thing that Paul heard is that they heard that they believed. Epaphras went back and gave Paul a report. And then Paul wrote a letter to these people. Paul never met them. This is unusual. Paul never has seen them at this point. But he's writing them a letter to encourage them. And so from the day that Paul hears of their faith in Jesus and that the gospel is bearing fruit in their town and around the world, what does he do? He says, we have not ceased to pray for you. You know, I was really, really convicted about this verse this week. Here, Paul, from the moment he hears these people have believed, has spent every day, we're not told how many days that was, in prayer for these believers. You know, I was thinking about this. We often pray for one another, but when do we do that? We usually only pray when what?
Things are bad.
When things are bad. When somebody is sick, right? When there's something wrong with something. With somebody. What was wrong with the Colossians up to this point that we know of? Nothing. Paul just hears that they're believers. And because they're believers, what does he do? He prays for them. I was convicted about this. You know, our prayer list is just made up of people who have needs in their life. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. We ought to pray for one another when we have things going on in our lives. Amen? But if that's the only time we pray for one another, then I think we're missing out on a big part of the picture. We have not ceased to pray for you. And we're going to see what he prayed for in just a moment. But boy, that kind of wrecked me this week. What love Paul has for these people that he's never met. What kind of love should we have for each other that we see each week and do life together here? I mean, he prays for them. We're going to see what he prays for. What devotion he has to these people. He bears a responsibility within his spirit to pour into them. To pour into them. For what? For the advancement of the gospel in Colossae and around the world. But man, and sometimes we just don't pray when something is wrong. Sometimes we pray when we want something good to happen to somebody. Right? We're praying for someone to get a promotion or someone to have something work out in their life or have this thing, whatever. That's fine too. But boy, our prayers need to go beyond just when something is happening or not happening. But every day, praying for one another. Can I encourage you something? To do something? In whatever way works for you. I want you to take our church directory. And I want you to divide up the church directory. Whether it's in 30 days or whatever. Whether it's 2 months or 3 months. And write on a calendar every day a name of someone or a family in the church. And I want you to pray for those people every day on that calendar. I mean, you could do this anyway. Whether you want to pray for the whole church in 1 week, go for it. I'm not going to stop you, okay? divide the directory up into 7 days or whatever. But a more manageable thing is in 30 days. 30 days, you could pray for your entire church family every month. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Right? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Whatever's happening in that family's life, and that, I tell you, I was really convicted about that. And then I came across 1 Samuel 12:23, and Samuel also felt this burden to pray for Israel. He says in 1 Samuel 12:23, he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by what? Ceasing to pray for you." In Samuel's mind, it was a sin not to pray for the people in his life. Would we not share in that burden and responsibility? What would God do in our church if we showed that kind of compassion and care and love for one another? You agree? Let's do it. I mean, we're just two phrases into this thing and we're already just like wrecked already. I mean, that's what happens to me every week, okay? I'm studying for this sermon. I'm just like, whoa, I'm just blown away. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. And we see commands in the scriptures all the time. Just pray for one another. Paul on his missionary journeys often wrote to his churches, pray for us. What did he pray for? Did he pray for the Colossians to have success? Or health or wealth? No, he didn't. Instead, he prays for this. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's his prayer. Every day he prays for what? The filling of the Colossians with the knowledge of God's will, with spiritual wisdom and understanding. In essence, this is what this means. Paul is praying for their spiritual growth. Now, Dan, it says the will of God. That's right. The will of God for these believers is their spiritual growth. I'm going to show you in just a moment why that's true. They're filled with the knowledge of his will. What's interesting about this is Douglas Moo, in his commentary on Colossians, says that this verb used for filled is like a divine passive, meaning it's God who is doing the filling. It is God who is doing the work in these believers. This is why Paul is praying for the Colossians in this way. Paul is not asking for the Colossians to fill themselves up. Paul is asking God to fill them up. Paul is asking that they would have nothing lacking in their spiritual growth, with all wisdom and understanding. Paul desires for the Colossians to truly know God. If you did the pastor's book club with me this past fall, you know we read a book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. It's a classic book. Many people put it on their top five books outside the Bible of all time. It's such a classic devotional book that aims for the reader to know God. To know God. That's God's will for Paul. Yeah, we've come to know God through the gospel. We've been converted. We've been saved. Paul says to them, "You're doing well. I'm so great you believe." But it doesn't end there. God's will is not just for you to become Christians. God's will is for you to be filled with his knowledge. And there's a purpose for that. Because trust me, God doesn't desire us just to have a bunch of Bible facts in our brains. Okay? God's desire is not for you to win some Bible trivia contest or a sword drill, right? Remember the sword drills of a long time ago? Sword drill, turn to this verse, whoever, whatever. That's not God's desire, is that you just be filled with a bunch of knowledge of facts. This knowledge of his will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, looks in a different way than you might suspect. But this is what Paul is praying for them. Colossians, you've come to know Christ. Now I'm praying for you to grow in Christ. This is God's will. A lot of times we think of God's will just being, what should I do next, right? Like, who should I marry? Or where should I go to college? Or what job should I do? Or what career should I be involved in? Or what should I buy this house? Or should I, whatever. I mean, all these financial decisions. God, just tell me what you want me to do. The Bible speaks of God's will differently than we normally do. There's books written on knowing the will of God and how to make decisions for everyday of life. And there's some credibility to some of that information. But primarily, when the Bible speaks about the will of God, it's about one thing. And it's what Paul told the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you should be familiar with this because we covered this last year when we preached 1 Thessalonians. Paul says it very clearly. For this is the will of God. What is it? Read it. Your sanctification. What is God's will for me, Paul? Who should I marry? Where should I go to college? What job should I get? No. You know what God's will for you? Your sanctification. Now, sanctification is a big, fancy theological word that you probably haven't used in a sentence this week. But you probably should develop it in your vocabulary. It's a good Bible word. It means the process of becoming holy. What is God's will for you? That every day in your life, as you grow closer to Him in the knowledge of His will, that you would reflect through your life, through your decisions, through your character, more of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is holy. He's our example. Every day, God is doing a work in your life so that you would become more Christ-like. That's God's will for you. That's God's will for you. Paul speaks about this in several different ways. We don't have time to look at them all this morning, but look it up when you have time to do your own Bible study on this area. So Paul's concern for them, if we go back to 1 Colossians chapter 1, is for their growth in holiness. It's just not our mission to save the lost. It's our mission to see the lost become Christians and then grow closer to God as they know more about God. And so let's go back. When was the last time you were concerned about anybody's spiritual growth in this church? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were concerned that somebody was growing in their faith? You shake hands with each other every Sunday? Great. Talk about the weather, the sports, what you had for lunch, what you're going to have for lunch. Maybe you're even guessing how long Dan's going to preach today. In all of our casual conversations, we bear a responsibility for each other. And be concerned for one another. To say, how are you growing? How do you love Jesus more today than you did yesterday? See, that's just not my job. That's just not my calling as the pastor of this church. This is a community project. This is this local community, this local church's responsibility to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, to spur one another on to good works. When was the last time you cared about anyone else's spiritual growth but yours? I mean, these are hard questions to ask yourself, but this is your responsibility. Your holiness, your sanctification, you're growing closer to God, but also for the other people in your... This is why I encourage you, I implore you to get involved in small group Bible studies. I mean, I'm up here, I'm the only one who's talking, right? But in small groups, you talk with each other, you learn from each other, you grow with one another. Get involved in a group. Go to Sunday school. Yeah, you got to wake up a little bit earlier. It's okay. It won't kill you. Right? Come to a Sunday school class and know the Word of God. Hear from other people who are also learning the Word of God with you. We need to be more serious about this and take and make a commitment, not just for our spiritual growth personally, but seeing yourself as investing into other people, praying for one another to grow in the knowledge of His will. This is what Paul did. And I think as he's doing this, he's setting an example for the Colossian believers so that they also would be concerned for one another. And so, how are we doing with that? You know, we have a church covenant that someone has to sign to become a member of this church. Did you know that that's a part of it? If you're a member of this church, that's what you've already promised to do. Have you? Have you? If not, let's start. If not, let's make a commitment to do better. This is not just about individuals. This is a community of people in Christ. And so what's the purpose of being filled with the knowledge of His will, Paul? He goes on. And he says this in verse 10. So, that's a purpose word. Whenever you see so or therefore, it's kind of like, here's the purpose of what I just said. Here's the reason for it. Why do I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. See, that's why the will of God there can't mean, hey, what am I going to eat for breakfast today? Right? It's all about our growth in godliness, our walk in Christ. And the word walk there is a fascinating word. The Bible, especially in the New Testament, uses this often. And it doesn't mean how you walk, you know, how you strut your stuff, right? It means your behavior. The word walk there is your behavior, your lifestyle. So Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Why? So you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Oh, fully pleasing to Him. That's what Paul wants. You say you belong to Christ. You say you believe in Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Is your life backing it up? Are you walking the walk? Are you just talking the walk, or I forget the expression now. Walk to talk or talk, I can't remember. Anyway, you know what I mean. Yeah, exactly. Walk in a manner worthy. You mean the way I live as a Christian matters? Yes, it does. Is this just not showing up here for an hour a week, singing some songs, hearing a message, and giving an offering? This community project in here, as we're spurring one another to good works and praying for one another, should encourage us to leave this place and to be better Christians who love the Lord even more dearly. And so Paul says that some of you may not be walking in a way that pleases God. You're not walking in the steps of Christ. You're not being like Jesus. You're being, in a sense, an antichrist. You're in here singing spiritual songs and hearing great messages and smiling and loving people and shaking hands. But when you leave this place, nobody can tell you belong to Jesus. That's true. That's often true. Boy, the way you talk in here better be the way you walk out there. Now, how does that happen? How is it that we can walk in this way, Paul? Well, it goes back to the previous verse. How do you walk in a way worthy of the Lord? By being filled with the knowledge of His will. Which is what? God wants me holy. God wants me to grow more like Jesus. God wants me loving like Jesus, patient like Jesus. God wants me generous like Jesus. God wants me forgiving like Jesus. This is who I was last year, but boy, in this past year, I've made strides. Or maybe you're saying, Dan, my spiritual life is stunted. Right? I'm in like in a rut. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just not making any progress. You know, there's probably reasons for that too. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But this is what Paul encouraged the Romans to do in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, and one of the most famous verses in Romans, he says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the what? Will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This verse is a parallel to Colossians chapter 1. Paul says in Colossians, be filled with the knowledge of his will. Here he says what? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Same thing. Same thing. When we are filled with the knowledge of his will and his word, we will know and our minds will be changed. That will lead to repentance. That will lead to a change of life. My heart will be changed. And so then, once I know what God wants me to do, and I've given my heart's desire to that, and I'm bowing the knee to King Jesus as a Christian in my life, these are sins in my life that I need to get rid of. This is how I'm talking at work. This is how I'm acting in front of these people. It's not godly. It's not Christ-like. I need to crucify that. I need to get rid of that. God, thank you for filling me with the knowledge of your will, because that's not right. I need to get rid of it. Paul says, once you're able to do that, you can what? Discern what is the will of God. Just like Paul said, filled with the knowledge of his will. And then you'll know what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then you'll know how to live. And so this is why Paul tells the Colossians to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You can't know that. You can't do that unless you're filled with holiness and how to do that. You can't be transformed by the renewal of your mind, like Paul says here, unless you're filled with that knowledge. So how do you get filled with the knowledge? Man, there's only one way. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to get in this book. You've got to read this Word every day. You've got to be faithful to come to church and hear the preached Word and pay attention and take notes and apply it and study it when you leave. You got to get in groups with other people in your church so that you can study it together and make a commitment to grow even further. That's how you're filled. And when you make that commitment and you are in the presence of God's Word and committing yourself to God's Word, God will fill you up. God will give you the knowledge that you seek. And because of that, you'll be able to discern His will, knowing what is holy and what's not, what is sinful, what is right. And not only that, it changes from an intellectual relationship of, okay, here's some facts that I've learned in church. Then it transforms it from facts and intellect into what? Heart affections. See, that's ultimately what we want to aim for. We want to aim for the affections of your heart, because that's where the battle is won. Yeah, of course it begins in the mind, but if it just stays in the mind, it'll never affect your heart, never affect your life. Trust me, there's a lot of people with great biblical wisdom as far as facts. They could probably quote tons of verses. They could probably win many Bible trivia contests. There are many people like that that will be residents of hell. Residents apart from the presence of God. These are the people I think that Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. Lord, we've fed the poor. We've helped the sick. We've done all these things for you. We've trusted you. No, you haven't trusted me. You've trusted yourself, and it's only been an intellectual knowledge. It's never affected your heart. You don't have any heart affections. Knowledge of His will, being filled with God and His Word, translates into walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. We don't have time to look at this now, but if you look at the book of Galatians chapter 2, Peter the Apostle Peter was not acting like he should have. And Paul confronted him. He was being a hypocrite. Peter was being a hypocrite by denying these new believers because of political reasons, and by essence denying the gospel. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 that I had to confront Peter to his face and tell him, you are not walking in step with the truth of the gospel. That's accountability, isn't it? That's accountability. You may say, well, how dare Paul do that? Well, first of all, he's an apostle. He's got the authority to do so. But more so in a church community, where we are a family. Family needs to tell family members the hard things sometimes, right? Like, you're not doing right. I love you, and I got to tell you that you're getting involved in some things that are going to be very harmful for your life. People get mad at you. They may get mad at you. They may say, mind your business. And you're like, you know what? You've made a commitment to be a Christian, to be a part of this family. This is what this family does. We're not spiritual policemen. We love you. We need to tell you the truth. That's what Paul did to Peter. Why? Because he saw him not walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. He was pleasing man and not pleasing God. But anyway, walking in wisdom is knowing sin and avoiding it, knowing what's holy and doing it. Because he continues in this way. When we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, he says, we bear fruit in every good work. Which is interesting, because in the beginning of this letter, he said that the gospel bears fruit all around the world, meaning that people are becoming Christians, people are becoming saved. But now he says that the gospel is now bearing fruit in their life through every good work. And so what's the result of walking a manner worthy of the Lord? What's the result of being filled with all spiritual wisdom and knowledge? That man, when we do good things, fruit happens in our life, and God uses that. God blesses that. God encourages that. And God is glorified through that. And then he says this. So walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bear fruit in every good work. And then he says this, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wait a minute. I thought we were already filled with the knowledge of God. You mean there's still more to learn? There's still more to grow? Yes. Just because you have grown to a certain point of maturity in your Christian life doesn't mean you stop. You won't stop growing as a Christian until the Lord returns or you die and go home to be with Him. So Paul says, not only am I praying that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that you bear fruit in every good work, but that you will continue increasing in the knowledge of God. Because this is the answer. This is the answer to your whole Christian life. A lot of people want to have the victorious Christian life without the victorious Christ. It cannot happen. You can't do this on your own. You need to humble yourself and say, I need to keep learning. I need to keep going. I need to keep submitting. I need to keep growing. And this is what we're commanded to do. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and what? Knowledge. There's that word again. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So yeah, we have to grow in knowledge, and we also grow in grace. That's what it means to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Peter also says in 1 Peter 2:2, he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may, what? Grow up into salvation. Yeah, the Christian life is a nonstop growing experience. And it may, and Philippians 1:9, Paul says this, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with what? Knowledge and all discernment. How's your love going to keep on flourishing, Philippians? With more knowledge? What knowledge? The knowledge of his will, which is what? Be like Jesus. Know what's right, know what's wrong. Love him. Have your heart affections changed by the gospel. Yeah, there's growth. There's commitment. There's grace. Don't give up. Paul commands young Timothy in his final letter that he ever wrote near the end of his life. Well, many to believe the final epistle he wrote. 2 Timothy 3:16, he encourages Timothy, who was a pastor in Ephesus and who was training other pastors or elders. It's a biblical word. Who is training other elders. And what does he say? All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for what? Training in righteousness or holiness or sanctification, whatever word you want to substitute for that in that light. Why? That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Again, the answer to the knowledge of God's will, how you are filled, is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, through the inspired word of God. Well, Dan, I'm not growing as a Christian. My life really hasn't changed. And I'm going to ask you, when was the last time you read your Bible consistently? Dan, my life has, I just got certain sins I just cannot overcome. They're just a burden to me. I cannot release them. I just keep falling back into the same old trap. Again, I'm going to ask you this. How much of the Word of God do you have in your life? What does the psalmist say? I've memorized it in the King James. I'm going to say it in the King James. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. How does the psalmist not sin? Hiding God's word in his heart. Again, you want to grow? You can't grow apart from the word. That's how God gives you the knowledge to do what's right. That's how God gives you the knowledge to be Christ-like. And what's the end result of this? What benefits? What benefits are there, Dan? Or more specifically, I didn't write this, Paul. What benefits are there from walking in a manner worthy of the Lord because we're filled with the knowledge of his will? Well, verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. That's it. You think Paul's prayer is important for them? Absolutely. Paul's prayer is massively important. Because just like the Thessalonians and just like the people of 1 Peter that we just got done preaching over the last year, those two books, the Colossians were also enduring persecution. Surprise, surprise, in case you didn't know. All these Christians endured persecution. And Paul says, endurance, patience with joy. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about, listen, when the tough times come in your life, and Caesar's men hold the sword at your neck, and they say, reject Christ and you will live. What are you going to do? Well, you will not be able to withstand that moment. I think what Paul is saying here. Without what? Being filled the knowledge of his will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because it is that that produces what? Endurance, stamina, stamina, endurance produces what? Patience. Okay, God, I don't get it. I'll wait. Do your work in me, God. Those of us in this room are not facing persecution like the Colossians, but we face other hardships. We face other difficulties in our life. And so this also applies to us. You cannot withstand the storms of your life, trust me, without growth in godliness. You cannot grow closer to Jesus without it. You cannot endure without growing. You cannot be patient without it. And you can't have joy without it. Right? I just think of the life of the Apostle Paul. We've used this example so many times, but just hear me out. Paul, we could say confidently, was filled, right, with the knowledge of God's will. He goes to the town of Philippi, preaches the gospel to them, gets thrown in jail. He's beaten, he's whipped, he's handcuffed. Middle of the night, strange sound is coming from Paul's cell. Silas, cell. Paul and Silas. What is it? Singing. This guy is singing? What do you mean he's... What? I mean, did we hear wrong? I mean, is that coming from the right cell? Yes, it is. How can Paul sing at midnight after he's just been whipped and beaten and locked up for Jesus? Why isn't he in there feeling sorry for himself? Oh, woe is me. Look at me. I'm so poor. Look at me. I can't believe this is happening to me. Why me? Why me? No. Instead, what do we see the fruit in Paul's life? He was strengthened with all might for endurance. That's why Paul's singing at midnight. With patience. All right, God, I'm locked up. If I die in here, I die. It's okay. If you get me out, you get me out. One way or another, God, I know that I'm here. I'm going to praise you. And what does Paul display in his life? Joy. Joy. Singing at midnight. And through their witness, what happens? Middle of the night, earthquake. Shakes the whole city. Shakes the prison so that it's breached. The walls come down, and the jailer, thinking that they were all escaped, and now it was going to be his neck on the line for letting this happen, is about to kill himself. He sees the Apostle Paul, and he hears Paul say, "Hey, we're all here, man. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. It's okay." And the jailer looks at him and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I mean, you've got something I don't have. I don't get it, but I want it. And Paul looks at him and he says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And the Philippian jailer was saved that night. But Paul doesn't. That doesn't happen if Paul is not first filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And now Paul speaks from experience. "Hey, Colossians, I know how this looks like. I've been through it. Trust me, you need it in your life. You need to grow closer to Jesus, because when those time comes, you will be glad you have it. I've had it. I've gone through it. And there's nothing sweeter than to know I can have joy. I can endure this. Because God has changed my affections for Him. It's not an intellectual relationship. It's a heart relationship." And Paul just doesn't wish this upon himself. He wants this for all those in Colossae. From the day I heard, I have not ceased to pray for you. Oh, Colossians, may you be filled with the knowledge of His will. Oh, you of Northwest Baptist Church, may you be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And may we, plural, pray for one another to this end. Amen? So take your calendars, take up the church directory, mark it up, and let not a month go by where you are not praying for people in your church. Please do this. If you're here, you don't know Christ, you don't know Jesus, and you're like the Philippian jailer. You're like, I don't know what these people have, but I want it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I'd love to speak to you more about what that means. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days. And then rose again from the dead. Because God loves sinners like you. And if you will call out in faith and repentance upon Him, He will save you. Be saved today, those who don't know Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to be filled with the knowledge of His will. As Paul prayed for the Colossians, Lord, make this reality in our church. May you burden our community for one another, that we would divide up our church directory and role to know that every person in our church is prayed for. And that we would be so concerned and involved in each other's lives that we would not just pray for the things that go wrong in our lives, but even if we don't have anything to pray for in that moment, the one thing we could always pray is for their growth in godliness, for their love to grow closer to Jesus. Help us, God. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and his great witness and example, because his life has been changed by this gospel which bears fruit all around the world. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.